Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
8 o'clock hour here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt.
R.I.P. We figured out a new segment for Tuesday at 7:40 yet?
No, because Peyton just got Ask Reddit canceled.
He did not.
But he got Life Hacks canceled. Epic work by Peyton Russell. Aiden alongside. Sean is out. Back next week. He's got paternity leave.
I didn't think he wanted more than two kids. I thought he didn't want to.
I know. He got another third. One. Yeah, that vasectomy didn't work.
Because, I mean, the youngest, she's what, like 12 now?
I think he's 12.
I mean, 12 months. But 12. Yeah, but still. I've been thinking, by the way, when you mentioned Life Hacks getting canceled just then, I've been thinking about we should do a segment sometime called Statute of Limitations, where we just go like, enough time has passed that we're going to tell a story on the air. That is, we wouldn't have told previously, or that we've referenced previously, but enough time's passed to where now we feel like we can tell it.
Oh, yeah, I could get down with something like that.
I think there's, like, I'm thinking of a couple right now that each one of us could probably do.
Okay, fair. The Tolos came up, which we talked about when we had the skip scanning at 6:40. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tolos came up with that because Peyton said he forgot to pay for bananas once. Tolos came up with an idea that he needs to go back to that store 6 years later, record it, and say, hey, I forgot to pay for these bananas in 2019.
And just be like, I felt guilty. I felt guilty. Imagine if he goes viral as like this upstanding citizen.
Yeah, restitution.
On a bit.
you gotta make restitution there.
I've done that before with, I forgot my wallet going to work, and I went to stop by to get Wendy's on the way to work, and I didn't have my wallet with me. And I was like, hey, I got to the front of the line. I was like, guys, you're not going to believe me. I don't have my credit card with me. Like, I don't have my wallet. I was like, I can't pay for this food. They were like, if you pay for it again, if you come back and give us the money tomorrow or whatever, we'll give you the food now. And I said yes. And so the next day, I came back and gave them the money.
That's great.
Who at this station would not go back? Because it's not.
I would have guessed Peyton.
I'm so frugal. You think I'd take it as owed. Like, I just got free food.
Yeah.
Life hack.
it would have been Mike in the past. But he's not.
Yeah, it would have been Mike.
Zach, probably.
Maybe.
I can see Eric doing it.
Whoever's the slowest to pay us back at dinners usually, is usually Zach or Eric, I feel like.
Hagelin,
yeah.
Hey, you're slow to pay back at dinner. Mark Cuban was on Stephen A. Smith's podcast. The full thing, I think, is released today.
Well.
But so Cuban was on with Stephen A. And what did I say the moment the Luka trade happened about Nico and Luka and European basketball players?
That he hates European basketball players.
And he just doesn't get, you've got to look at them differently.
That's how he views them. Which I've since had somebody posit the theory, as I've told you about, where they're like, they think that dislike probably came from playing overseas after he left college. That he played there and didn't like him after that.
It's not that he doesn't like them. It's he doesn't like and agree with the lifestyle.
Yeah.
The lifestyle of a European basketball player is just, or the European person is just different. They take August off.
Oh, dude.
They don't work in August or whatever month it is. They take holiday.
Jokic was like, if I win one. Wembanyama, before he got drafted, talked about how there's bigger things than basketball, so I'm not going to prioritize this as the top thing.
Yeah.
Giannis went viral afterwards. Same sort of thing, talking about work-life balance. Different. Yeah, it is a different mindset.
Different mindset. It's not right. It's not wrong. Just different. And I've always said Nico just doesn't jive with it. It just doesn't work for him.
Yeah, he's very regimented, very intense. That's okay. The way he is.
I get it. He's in charge of the organization. It's his team. He builds it how he wants. I don't have a problem with it.
He wants Kobe.
The return sucked. End of story.
He wants Kobe obsessively just committed to your work. Right. That's what he wants.
That's it. So Cuban went on Stephen A., and he basically just brought this up out of nowhere when they were talking about the trade.
I mean, look, everybody saw him. It wasn't like he was ripped and had a six-pack, but what I think what the biggest mistake was in trying to understand Luka is he's from the Balkans, right? He's Slovenian, and, you know, you look at Jokic, who's Serbian, and you look at Serbian players in general, they're just a different mindset. Right. They look at the game different. They look at life differently. They look at they're emotionally, you know, the guys that I've gotten to know from that region of the world are different. And I think that was what was not considered as fully as it should have been. Mm-hmm. That you've got to understand what people are like, what their backgrounds are like, who they are personally, what their families are like, you know, how they interact with other people. And from that part of the world, in my experiences, Luka was just, you know, other than the basketball talent, he was just like every other guy. And, you know, and I think that was one of the reasons he loves to play with the Slovenian team. He relates so well to all the other players from that part of the world. And, you know, over the summers, that's who he's hanging out with. That's who he is.
That's it. That's a lot of it. It's just a lifestyle difference.
Yeah, and he's clearly, they never saw things the same way.
They didn't.
Luka and Nico never saw things the same way. They're, obviously, I hesitate because there's always the risk of you can go back and watch an interaction once you know something and potentially read something into it that, like, yeah, you see that now because you know how it ended, but it may not have been that way at the time. But, like, you see some of these interactions that have gone viral, people sharing videos of just, like, when he goes up after a game and he sees Cuban and Kid and Nico and the way he greets all of them, and it's different. It feels different the way he's interacted with Nico.
Cuban continued on what he's noticed about Luka and other players from overseas.
What are the kind of things that you noticed about him and about players from overseas, from Europe, et cetera, and how different they are?
Not even overseas, the Balkan players,
the
right?
The Balkan players. How are they different?
If you've never seen a game in Serbia,
okay,
they're going, like Jokic has said before, Joko said, you know, oh, guys are yelling at me. No, dude, have you ever seen a game in Serbia? Mm. And you watch him, that's where you see the videos of the entire stadium bouncing up and down. Right. And, you know, look at Jokic's brothers. They're aggressive, right? They don't put up with anything. You know, just, you know, when we had Boban was a big teddy bear, but he could be aggressive too on the court. And so just that mindset that you just, when you're on the court, your intensity is at a different level, you know, and you see that with Jokic, you see that with Luka, you see that with other players, and that historically has been who they are. And you have to understand where people are from in the world. That culture, you know, the culture you grow up in makes a difference into who you are as an athlete, as a professional in any sport, and as a business person for that matter.
It's just a lack of understanding. And it ultimately burned the Mavericks.
It did.
Which is, it's upsetting because it didn't have to end this way.
No.
I know we've talked about, and there have been a few people who have said, you should have traded Luka. A lot of people who just didn't like him. They thought he was out of shape. Same sort of things. And we've always talked about the issue of like, yeah, but the biggest problem is no one can defend the return. That's the problem. You can't defend the return that you got for Luka. It's so much deeper than that to me, though. You traded away the guy for the next 10 years, 12 years.
Yeah, you gave away age. You gave away 10 years for three. And that's a major problem.
And you didn't. The return was the worst part of it. But even still, secondarily, like you shouldn't have moved on. You should have said, I'll figure it out. Just like 28 other teams have said behind the scenes when talking to people, they'll go, should have figured it out. If we had him, we would have figured it out. Figure it out.
He, again, I will stand by it. He does not like that lifestyle. He does not understand it. And he thinks it is counter to being great. Joker could argue that, I mean, Joker's a perfect example of, and Giannis of that take. It's a bad take. It's an outdated take.
I mean, he clearly doesn't like that aspect of it, but
Joker's going to finish in the top two of MVP for, what, six straight years?
Now, Joker reached a point where he was more locked in on his conditioning at one point. Like, he did have a moment where he pivoted.
I mean, he went and watched harness racing all summer.
Right, but I mean, he did have a moment about 3 years ago where he changed his approach.
Yeah, sure.
Three or 4 years ago, whatever that was.
As he got older.
But, and that's the thing, though. Like, have that patience to see it through with Luka.
Right, absolutely. One more time from Cuban on Luka on the floor.
You know, when you see Luka, like when I went to L.A. with my son when we played there against him for the first time, right. And I told him I was going to boo him when he was on the free throw line, so I did, and I was smiling right. And laughing, and he was, you know, he got really intense because right. He's always really intense on the court. Mm. Always. You see his response to the referees. You see his responses to anybody. He is intense. Mm. And while, you know, Joker may not be as purely emotional, and I don't get to see as many of his games, the guy is intense, you know, but when the game is over and he goes back home, he's more interested in harness racing, which, by the way, I grew up watching my entire life. So I don't blame him. But, you know, they go back and they live their lives. It's just different. Mm. And you've got to accept those differences in players from that part of the world. And I think that was part of our mistake.
Ooh, that's generous to say our mistake.
Our mistake. Yeah, he's still a part owner, so it is our mistake. You know,
he tried to stop it.
He said when Nico texted him, like, you know, wait, it's not done yet. Nico's like, no, it's done. He goes, okay, then nothing else to say. That's it. Nothing else to talk about.
It's just a miserable existence.
It is.
It's miserable to realize this is what this team did.
Brian Windhorst is not happy about this.
Oh my
right?
gosh. So we heard the reports. The Mavericks were talked out of the Austin Reeves portion of the trade. That initially this was supposed to include Austin Reeves, who's a pretty good player.
Yeah.
And that the Mavericks were effectively talked out of like an extra pick and some Austin Reeves. And, you know, great job by Rob Pelinka devaluing things enough in the conversations that Nico went, yeah, you're right. I can't give you much more than that. Brian Windhorst, after Austin Reeves continues to play well and with the Luka Dallas reunion on deck for tomorrow night, Brian Windhorst absolutely went off on ESPN yesterday.
I'm going to say one more thing because there's a game coming up in Dallas in a couple of days. I know we're all going to focus on Luka, as we should, but the Mavericks not getting Austin Reeves in that trade is malpractice. Austin Reeves has been, as Shannon alluded to, Austin Reeves has been awesome in this last month, especially in this last week and last couple weeks when LeBron hasn't been great. And the fact that the Mavericks didn't get Austin Reeves in that trade remains insane. And Reeves is just proving it night in and night out.
I don't know that I've ever seen Wendy get that worked up.
He like got worked
like,
up
he's
there.
He's like hitting the table. He looks fierce. It's
looks
just
angry.
And that's the problem. Just from a pure basketball standpoint, as somebody who appreciates the game of basketball, as somebody who loves the NBA, as somebody who loves that game like Brian Windhorst does, he's offended that the Mavericks would do something so stupid.
He really is.
He's not a fan of the Mavericks. He's not a fan of the Lakers. It's not anything like that. He is offended as a lover of basketball that you would just devalue Luka to that extent. And be willing to say, well, he's not even worth throwing Austin Reeves in there. It remains and will remain until God knows when the dumbest trade made in the history of sports. It's just stupid. There was no justification.
It really is dumb.
And tomorrow, we'll get into some of it tomorrow. I'm thinking I'm going to go down to the Victory Plaza on Wednesday night. I just want to record. Oh, yeah? I just want to get raw fan reaction to Luka coming back. I think it's going to be nuts in there tomorrow night.
Yeah, it might be. I think it might. Although,
now they've got a back-to-back tonight. Do you think Luka sits?
Well, no.
No, Luka sits tonight because they've got. I wonder if they just say, no, Luka, you sit tonight because you're going to want to play tomorrow.
You're playing. Yeah, it's going to be interesting with the crowd. I mean, the crowd's going to be. I don't think it's obviously there's not going to be vitriol towards Luka.
No.
It'll be 75-80% Luka fans in there.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Luka first.
No, it will sound like
they
a
won't
Luka
cheer
crowd.
When Lakers score. They will cheer when Luka scores.
Now they're on the road against Oklahoma City tonight.
They're not really in a. They need to. I mean, they want to get a. They want to secure a home series. He might play them both.
I wonder if they just manage his minutes a little though.
Yeah, maybe. How do the Rangers get their bats going in the Windy City? Plus, Bobby's become a NASCAR fan, and I am heated. heated about this dire wolf situation. It's dire. It's a very dire situation. That's all next on 105 Through the Fan.
Suzuki swings. That one is lobbed weakly into center field. Coming on, Pilari's got to play it on the hop. He raced in as quickly as he could, but he couldn't quite get there as Tucker scores from second. An RBI base hit for Seiya Suzuki.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
How do the Rangers get their bats going? That is one of the questions that we've got to answer right now.
Steroids.
Well, I don't know if steroids would be a that's not the right thing to do.
They're making contact. They're so making they just contact. need a little boost.
They lose 7-0 to the Cubbies. Cubs team that has had the they've scored the most runs in all of Major League Baseball this year. They've played the most games. They have now played 13 games. They're 8-5, but they've scored 84 runs. Nobody else has scored more than 78. That's the Yankees.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And other than that, there's
Yankees,
not even
the Yankees have done it in three fewer games, too.
They have, but there's no other team in the 70s besides New York. So
best run differential in baseball, which I know you're out on this early in the season, but it's just noting that they're beating teams pretty
well.
The Cubs
have, yeah. They're plus 28. It's a little, it's a little skewed. You get one, sure. You get one blowout win, and it's going to skew your run differential.
That's why the Reds are plus 3 and the Rangers are still. What are the Rangers? Yeah. They're -8 now. Yeah. The Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, the Rangers are sitting there at 8-3, and they've been outscored by 8 runs this year. It's just the way it is, right? You get that 114-3 game, and then you have a 7-0 game, so now you're down 21 of your 18 in the hole.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, there's nobody, the fact that you're dug back that far with an 8-3 baseball team is just kind of funny to look at
the
standings.
It is kind of odd to look at, but, that's where they are. It's just about getting the bats going right now. But you said that they did not have, they had a high exit velocity of all the hard hit balls yesterday. They had a majority of them.
Yeah, they were hitting the majority of the hard hit balls yesterday, like the ones where they were really squaring them up and driving them. It was Texas was hitting the ball harder than Chicago. So, again, some of this is luck factor. The old adage, Baseball America's talked about this, FanGraphs has talked about this. Like, if you hit the ball hard and you hit it consistently, it's going to start falling. Mm-hmm. So they do have that working for them. But, yeah, it's just right now, it's not falling where it needs to. They're not striking out a ton. So, I mean, you're talking about they're making contact pretty consistently. They are hitting the ball pretty hard. But, I mean, as it stands now, you've got a 184 team batting average. It's
lowest,
awful.
Lowest in the sport?
Lowest in the sport. Third lowest OPS in the sport. They're not getting on base very frequently. They're not, whether that's beat through walks or hits or whatever else, they're not getting on base enough.
It was cold. It was cold. There's no doubt about that. And, that hurt Evaldi at all as pitching with, some feel. Maybe. But, Steele had the same conditions to work with. They have Patrick Corbin today, Jamison Tyon going for the Cubbies. You can get into the game for as low as $3. And then tomorrow you get in for $2.
But so you can get it for free?
You can get the game for free right here on 105 Through the Fan.
See,
6 o'clock pregame, Jared Sandler.
Same wavelength. And then tomorrow's a day game.
Yes.
Day baseball
AMC
tomorrow.
Barely has to work tomorrow. They'll get a 2-hour show.
They barely work most days. So
That's fair. That's fair. but it's going to be cold again today. It's going to be in the 30s. Now, yesterday may have been more chilly.
Yesterday was, because I remember I was looking on when it was the fifth inning. I went and looked to try and see what it was. I think game time when the first pitch was thrown, it was 32 is what it said on the ESPN box score. So, I mean, it was cold. No doubt about it.
What is going on with Dale Jr. and Lamar Jackson?
All right. So this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So Lamar Jackson and Dale Earnhardt Jr. have been fighting. And do you know what they're fighting over?
No.
What do they both have in common?
The professional athletes.
Mm-hmm. Well,
oh, they both, well, the number eight. They don't wear number eight. He doesn't wear number eight, not, but they he not, drove number eight.
Not just number eight. The style of the eight.
Huh?
The stylized lean of the eight and everything looks too similar to each other. So Lamar Jackson and Dale Earnhardt Jr. have been fighting over who gets to use the exact slant or font of the number eight the way that they want to. And ultimately, Lamar Jackson won out. NASCAR legend Dale Earnhardt Jr. announced Friday on social media that he has secured the right to use a stylized version of number eight and will abandon the original number eight logo used by Earnhardt Jr.'s Earnhardt Jr. Motorsports. This decision came 2 days after Jackson filed an opposition claim with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office to stop Earnhardt from putting that JR Motorsports version of number eight on merchandising. Earnhardt said, "We are looking forward to the remainder of an already successful season." Jackson, who has worn number eight since his college days at Louisville, previously registered the trademark Era 8 by Lamar Jackson. His filing had argued that Earnhardt's attempt to trademark that particular version of number eight would create confusion among consumers. I got to be honest, I don't think of either of you when I think of number eight anyway. So I think of Aikman. I don't think of your style. In fact, if I saw the stylized version of 8, you know what I would probably think of is Dale Earnhardt Jr. Because it's that kind of like...
Well, it's yeah, I mean, a lot of the NASCAR numbers are tilted.
Right, so that's just naturally. If I saw one like that, that's probably, if I thought about it for a second, I'd go, oh yeah, Dale Jr. But still, they're sitting out here fighting over that and fighting over ridiculousness. But ultimately, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Walks away from the number and allows Lamar Jackson to have
it. Dale walked away.
He walked away from trademarking that specific one that Junior Motorsports uses. So that was the one that Lamar Jackson was arguing was too close to his. So he couldn't have it.
Interesting. Okay, so the eights I think of Dale and Lamar and Troy and Bo Jackson.
KNC just did this segment yesterday.
And,
they did the
Yogi Berra.
They did the greatest eights of all time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They did their whole segment on it.
The because, Big Eight?
Because what inspired it was Alex Ovechkin, number eight, who, of course, just broke the goal-scoring
record.
Yes,
he did.
And now the New York Islanders are trying to price gouge people.
So this is funny. I'm cool with this. I'm actually okay with this. The Islanders obviously were the home team in the Ovechkin record-setting game. And they're going to auction off some things. Not auction off, but sell some things. So you can get, so now no tickets are printed anymore. They're all on your phone, right? You can actually get your ticket printed to look like an actual ticket. They'll do that for you. You can get that thing taken care of. It's $45.
Okay.
It's $45. They will charge you $45 to print an actual basic ticket that you would get from like a ticket, you know.
They'll sell those. They'll sell plenty of those, I bet.
For sure. I would absolutely get one.
Yeah. It's a memento. It's a keepsake, whatever else. Okay. So no problem with that.
Yeah.
Are they gouging in other ways?
They are. So they also are selling the warm-up pucks from the game to any fans hoping to savor the moment. This will cost you $375. You know, they'll keep the pucks. If you ever go down by the penalty box.
Yeah.
You know, when the pucks come off the ice, what they do with them?
No.
So in the minor leagues, they would put them in they used to have those thermos coolers. They would put them in the thermos cooler back in the day.
Okay, why?
To keep them frozen. Oh, okay. The pucks frozen. Now I think I think the NHL arenas will have an actual like freezer that they're right there by the penalty box where the public address announcer sits.
So they're giving you a warm-up puck.
So the warm-up pucks, they just have like a bucket. They just dump them on the ice before the game.
For how many?
$375.
And there's no guarantee that even...
That touched him?
Touched that, any of those pucks.
Yeah, there's no guarantee, I don't think. It was on the ice. It was like, you know, because they just sent a bunch out there. And I guess...
I get the ticket.
I guess they know which ones that were used on the visitor's side. I don't know.
But if they're all shooting them around, how do they know which one he touched?
There's
probably a handful that he didn't touch.
There may have been. But, you know, it's like a basketball. You get your rack of balls. Chances are you're going to touch one of them, right?
The closest example I can think of with this... is if they would have sold baseballs from batting practice from the day Bonds broke the home run record.
Yeah.
I would get my ticket if I'd gone to the thing to watch Mike give up that home run. I would have paid to have my ticket printed, probably $45. Okay, cool. That's cool. Keepsake to have. But if you would have told me you want to buy a batting practice ball for $375, I'd say, hell no. That's the... You just go to batting practice. They just toss him up there. They don't even care. That's ridiculous. I mean, that's comparable, right? It's the same thing.
It's comparable. There's no doubt about it. It's definitely comparable. I would like to see.
I don't know. I think that's stupid. There's no chance in hell I would pay for that at all. But you know what? None. You only live once, and we're about to get killed by direwolves.
We are. Stop. We are going to get killed by direwolves here. This really hacks me off. I saw this yesterday, and I wasn't scared, but like it was more like, what the hell are we doing?
You're a little scared this morning.
What the hell are we doing? So direwolves have been extinct for over 10,000 years. Colossal Biosciences is a genetic engineering company. Where are they based? Right here.
Oh.
DFW.
Where specifically? Does it say?
It says the Dallas, Texas-based biotech company.
Oh.
Doesn't give the address.
So it's a national article, though, right?
USA Today.
Okay. So if they're calling Dallas, that very well could be like...
anywhere here. Yeah. It could be
Prosper.
Prosper. Absolutely.
Yeah, you never know.
But they revealed on Monday the recent successful birth of 3 direwolf puppies. Now, a direwolf, like I said, is an extinct animal. An extinct wolf. It is 25% larger than modern-day gray wolves. They had thicker, more muscular legs, more powerful shoulders, a wider head and snout, large teeth and jaws. They stand 3.5 feet tall. They could be longer than 6 feet, and they weigh up to 150 pounds. What in the hell are we doing?
So,
and don't go all semantics on me. What?
I'm about to go semantics on you. It's not semantics, Chop. I'm just asking. You tell me if this is a legitimate difference. So I went and looked it up. I was like, all right, what is it? Because I saw some people disputing that this is a thing. So here's what the claim is. Colossal Biosciences or whatever the group is, they're claiming that they've done this. The articles that are out there are saying that they basically took 2 modern wolves and genetically altered them to have the appearance, like basically like you're dyeing somebody's hair blonde, but they're not really a blonde. Like that's kind of what they've basically altered these 2 modern wolves, altered them a little bit so that they have the appearance of direwolves, but they're not like genetically direwolves.
So are they 25% larger than gray wolves?
That I don't know. They just look like them, though. Like the I think it's the appearance.
They just you're just manipulating science here, but they just, you want to get all semantic on me?
I'm just asking you a question.
And you just took the greatest land predator in North America, and you just made it 25% larger. Cool. Go ask people in Colorado what happened to their dogs.
Like
they reintroduced wolves in Colorado. Nobody has dogs anymore. They're all dead. Livestock gone.
Boy, these things are like, you look at photos of them too. Like these are like little angry man eating dollies.
Yeah.
You remember Dolly?
No.
The first genetically created lab grown sheep.
The cloned sheep. Yes. But the Colorado right here grappling with the reintroduction of gray wolves, concerns over livestock and tensions between ranchers, wildlife officials, wolf advocates. What are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, maybe this wasn't like if this thing really...
Just get a pterodactyl. You know what? Just end it all. Just get a pterodactyl.
Yes, it is
T-Rex,
Jurassic.
A velociraptor. Just put those out there.
It is Jurassic Park-like. That's true. Yeah, I mean, if they're really doing this, yeah, I don't understand what they're doing. Like, I mean, they're just... This is you said Colorado is where they're releasing them?
Well, no, that's Colorado reintroduced wolves like a couple years ago.
Yeah. Oh no, I saw that documentary. Yeah. Well, it was supposed to control certain things in the ecosystem, like them being gone had proved to cause a problem.
But the problem is that these things are like the greatest hunters ever alive, and now you have a massive lack of elk.
But wolves are cool.
But they're cute.
They're cool.
They're cute when they're a puppy and you can hold them in their hands, and then all of a sudden they eat you. And your dog.
Exactly.
Cool. What's up next to Below the Belt?
The prophet has spoken. Let's talk about who the Cowboys will pick later this month. Next in Below the Belt on 105.3 The Fan.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Oh, Chop, the prophet has spoken. He has now given us a 2-round mock draft. Mel Kiper is who I'm talking about.
All right.
Let's see if Mel's changed his tune at all after the first 2 drafts he put out. He had Omarion Hampton, the North Carolina running back, going to the Cowboys at pick number 12.
You know, I don't think Mel has capitalized on his... So McAfee's really capitalized on the Pittsburgh Yinzer accent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Mel has capitalized on that kind of mid-Atlantic twang that he's got.
He seems a little humorless.
Baltimore twang.
He seems a little humorless at times, doesn't he?
Humorless?
Yeah. Doesn't he seem like he takes himself a little too seriously?
He absolutely like takes himself a little
too seriously. I've never met him. Maybe he's more lighthearted than I know, but he just...
He had to, though, because when he came in, as like, he came into the media in an era where if you were going to be an analyst, you better have been like...
Oh, he created an industry.
He created an industry, and there's a lot of pushback.
Yeah, and he
who the hell is Mel? Wasn't Polian that said that?
It
right?
It was one of the Colts people. Who
the hell is Mel Kiper Jr.?
Yeah,
it's one of the greatest clips I've ever heard.
It's Bill Tobin.
Who the hell is Mel Kiper Jr.?
And look, he is, like I said, he created an industry. He's a legend. I don't think he's as active on some of the study as some folks like the great Dane Brugler, who we will talk to tomorrow. Here on Sean and RJ. I don't think he's as active in that sort of study. I think more it's just now he kind of talks to me. He basically works as a reporter now, sourcing stuff.
Yeah.
And so because of that, his stuff, I think, has become more projection based on conversations that he has. So that's how he was able to get. We've talked about it before. Everybody was surprised by Tyler Smith when he was picked. Turned out to be a great pick, but everybody was surprised by it. People were like, that's a third-round tackle. And he goes in the first round of the Cowboys. He had that, his very first mock draft in early January, Cowboys taking Tyler Smith. And so, I mean, he's hit on some stuff with the Cowboys in recent years. And so it's worth noting when he weighs in on things, takes a listen on things. We'll get to really quickly what he said here in just a sec. First, I think this is so funny. Yesterday, reporters were talking to Geno Smith in Las Vegas now that he signed his contract extension. And when you think of... like the great quarterback coach pairings. Do you think of Geno Smith and Pete Carroll?
No. Not no. I'm thinking more like Bill and Tom. You know.
I get it.
Reed and Mahomes.
Yeah. Like, you know, Bill and Joe. You know?
Bill and Joe. even though Belichick wasn't like an offensive guy, it's still a coach quarterback.
Holmgren and Favre, like whatever. You got those combos, right? This is yesterday. Pete Carroll and Geno Smith both kept referencing unfinished business that they have to take care of. Did you get the impression at all when they were in Seattle? Like, boy,
they had some unfinished
opportunity
business,
left right on the doorstep of Seattle. No. How close was that to a dynasty?
No.
And I get it. You're going to go in there. You're going to talk a certain way and fluff things up a little. You know, Geno Smith said, I think there's unfinished business. And I think when people think about my story, Coach Carroll was a big part of that. He gave me an opportunity when not many people would have. And that's a nice story. That's the good aspect of this. And Pete Carroll did gamble on Geno Smith. I will say this. Is Pete Carroll going to get more credit in retrospect for being a wise quarterback coach than he did in the present? Because he did take a gamble on Geno Smith when
and
his
Russ,
career was in the
and Russ.
And Russ did not like it. The more Russ played, the more you went, maybe Carroll was right to kind of hold him back a little bit. Like, are we going to let that go? He knows what you're capable of, and he's gonna let you maximize it to that extent, and then that's it.
I think Pete's a fine coach, and I think history is going to look back on him fairly fondly. And we already look back on his Patriot and Jet tenure more fondly than those fan bases did at the time.
Yeah, 100%.
He's been a really good football coach everywhere he's gone, and he'll be good for the Raiders. Even though he is a little old school, and I don't know that I love some of their offseason moves, but
Pete strikes me as
they won't make mistakes.
Pete strikes me as a push the ball over the line guy, though. Like, that's why you'd hire him.
He loves to push the ball over the line, except at the goal line in the
Super
Bowl.
Yes, literally. I set you up on it. Yep, very good, very good. You deserve credit for that. But just in general, like, he strikes me as that's the hire you make of, like, we're close, let's see if he can get us over the... Like, the Raiders, that's still not a hire that makes a ton of sense to me. I don't get why he goes there. He's the oldest coach in the NFL now. It just seems like a weird pairing. All right, NFL draft. And by the way, we should say that it is our staple event with you, the Tolo. It's Draft 101 in our fan showroom, 4131 North Central Expressway in Dallas. Our Super Bowl winning scout, Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk, and myself, we team up with DallasCowboys.com for a night of draft talk, debate, and questions. Not only that, dinner's going to be on us thanks to Whataburger, plus plenty of giveaways completely free. We cannot wait to see you guys for Draft 101 on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. No sign-up is required. You just show up here to 4131 North Central Expressway on April 17th. And we're looking forward to doing it. Looking forward to hanging out with you guys. Okay, Chop. Mel Kiper, brand new mock draft. Let's go through it. Number one, Tennessee Titans select Cam Ward, quarterback, Miami. They talk about how there's still a chance, obviously, that a trade could happen. But he thinks that the Titans very well could stand in there and ultimately pick Cam Ward, which would then mean trading Will Levis, I assume.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to do something there. Brian Callahan last year seemed like he hated Will Levis. They had some moments last year where Callahan just seemed like a total jerk in post games.
Yeah.
Talking about him. Number two pick, the guy who has become an overwhelming favorite at number two in recent days, Travis Hunter, which the Browns are going to play him at receiver. That's going to be the discussion. He said, Mel Kiper said he debated Hunter versus Penn State's Abdul Carter for Cleveland. He said there's no doubt that slotting Carter opposite Myles Garrett would destroy opponent game plans, but Hunter is a special prospect in so many ways. Browns would start him at receiver and then play him partially at corner is apparently their thought on it. Number three, the New York Giants. We've talked about this. Mentioned this during the expressway. This feels like the first Shedeur Sanders spot, and if he doesn't go here, there might be a little bit of a fall. Mm. So what did Mel Kiper say? Abdul Carter, edge rusher, Penn State. So he thinks the Giants pass on Shedeur Sanders.
Well, they have quarterbacks now in their room.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Could you imagine Russ, Jameis, and Shedeur with Tommy Cutlets in the same? I mean, that's a toxic room.
Sean Stellato just dropping in on their meetings with his fedora looking like Matt Drudge.
Has Shedeur hired an agent?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Is he gonna,
but I haven't looked.
Is he going to go solo like Lamar kind of did?
So I know Travis Hunter went with Young Money. Young Moolah, baby. He went with Young Money's sports agency. So he went with Lil Wayne's agency. I don't know if Shedeur went there too or if he's solo. I have to look it up. Number four, New England Patriots select Will Campbell, offensive lineman from LSU. Jaguars take Mason Graham, defensive tackle from Michigan. This one hurts. Raiders, this has become a popular pick. Running back, Boise State, Ashton Jeanty goes to the Raiders. Ashton Jeanty was just at the Star in Frisco last week for the Dallas Day workouts. Number seven, the Jets take Armand Membu, offensive tackle, Missouri. So they pass on Shedeur Sanders.
How are his arms?
He's a shorter guy. So that's,
he's 6'3", right?
Yeah, he's a shorter guy. I mean, he's really good. He is good. I would play him at tackle.
Would you rather short height or short arms? Like, if you're 6'7", short arms, or 6'3", long arms?
6'3", long arms, I would.
Well.
Yeah. Number eight, Carolina Panthers take Jalen Walker, linebacker, edge rusher, tweener from Georgia. Nine, the Saints take Shedeur Sanders, quarterback, Colorado. The Bears take Tyler Warren, tight end, Penn State. And then the 49ers take Will Johnson, cornerback from Michigan. So two of the Cowboys' favored guys are on the board here. Tet McMillan, the receiver from Arizona. Mykel Williams, the edge rusher from Georgia, who's kind of raw and is mainly a run defender at this point. Has not developed a lot of his pass rush tools yet. What do you think they do here? What do you think Mel Kiper does?
Did you mention Will Campbell yet?
Will Campbell went fourth to the Patriots.
God, that's high. They go Tet McMillan.
No. They go
Michael Williams.
Omarion Hampton, running back, again. North Carolina. He is not moving off the Omarion Hampton.
He knows something.
And that's a little.
He knows something.
Now, here's the thing. He has been pretty solid on Omarion Hampton. This is what he wrote up. I was torn here as I think Dallas will look at all offensive playmakers. It needs a difference-making wide receiver, too, to take some of the load off CeeDee Lamb. I'm not sure Texas's Matthew Golden or Arizona's Tetaroa McMillan will go quite this early. Ted McMillan was like the fourth overall pick, chic pick for months. This is Kyle Hamilton all over again of people just overthinking a player, getting fatigue on him, or overthinking like, is this 40 time just what we want? That dude's
a sexy pick.
That dude was widely considered slam dunk top five player. And now all of a sudden everybody's overthinking him, and now we're just going, is 12 too early for Tet McMillan? I think that's ridiculous. They end up taking Omarion Hampton, the running back from North Carolina, who I do think the Cowboys like, and I think they're going to have highly ranked. I'd be surprised if he's above McMillan. Go down the list a little bit. Let's see where Mikel Williams and we'll say Matthew Golden too from Texas. Arizona Cardinals take Matthew Golden 16. And so that's the receiver from Texas. He goes ahead of Tet McMillan. Then you get pick 20. The Broncos get McMillan with their pick. So wow. Sean Payton gets a weapon there. And then Mikel Williams, who again was a top 10 pick, kind of slam dunk for a long time, 23 to the Packers, according to Mel Kiper. And then we'll jump down here because it is a two-round mock today.
All right, who's Washington take?
In the first round?
Yes.
Washington ended up taking Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M. Right, defensive
who else
in
the NFC, man?
Eagles took James Pierce, edge rusher, Tennessee.
Of course. Mike Kiper had him there last time, too.
It would be a punch to the gut for you. Having to watch James Pierce just wreck things in the NFC East. I'm just like, he was sitting right there for you.
He was right there.
Could have told
he
you, go right balls, there. Baby. Giants at 34 do get their quarterback, allegedly. Jalen Milroe, quarterback, Alabama, is who they take there. But the Cowboys at pick 44 in the second round, cornerback Trey Amos from Ole Miss, which I don't love that pick.
That's Torrey's kid, right?
Yeah, that's Torrey Amos' child. Right. Yep, you got it. That I would not love that pick. There at 44, that to me is just
what position is he?
Cornerback from Ole Miss. That'd be
selectively aggressive.
I'll be honest. If it was Omarion Hampton and Torrey, see what you got to say. If it was Omarion Hampton, the running back from North Carolina, and Trey Amos, the cornerback from Ole Miss, I would be pretty disappointed with that. But you know what? Just to be different, Chop. Here's what we're gonna do in Below the Belt tomorrow. We're gonna go over the reasons since Omarion Hampton keeps getting mentioned. The reasons you should like Omarion Hampton.
Okay.
Because it'll be an outside-the-box exercise for me because I don't think you can take him at 12. So we're going to give you the case for Omarion Hampton, and I'll present some of that tomorrow in Below the Belt.
All right, Below
the Belt.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. The Dodgers made their way to the White House. Bobby Marks, NBA insider, will make you disgusted and angry at the Mavericks and what they could have gotten for Luka Doncic. It's all coming up along with the KNC Masterpiece and Crosstalk in the 9 o'clock hour here on 105.3 The Fan.